Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls, minisode number 20. I'm Tim.
I'm Leander.
And Rashid.
And we're gonna... Well, I'm not, because I'm out of books. But you guys... Snap. Yeah, I know. You guys will be reviewing some books. So whoever wants to go first, dive in. I guess Leander, it should
be
you.
Yeah, go first.
You've
got more.
Yeah.
All right, first one. Green Lantern, Lost Army, DC, number 5. I just picked it because it was DC and I don't read DC. So, it's funny though, I already had some ideas of what this was going to be like before I even read it, just because of the cover.
Okay.
And I said, I said two things in my head. One, there's going to be some weird alien that just happens to be a Green Lantern that we all have to be like super excited about. And two, there's going to be that world Green Lantern one that always, the big Green Lantern that's a world, everyone knows him. So... this book did not fail. So, this is all about... It talks a little bit about John's past and how he was in the military or whatever. And then the squirrel Green Lantern has to go find the Green Lantern rings. We all expected the squirrel to go do something because it's weird. It's a weird race. Anyways, they apparently are on a planet. They're all trapped. It's the army, it's the Green Lantern Corps, which I guess is the big deal now, right? You don't ever have one Green Lantern now. It's the whole Corps or nothing.
Yeah.
So that's fine. The squirrel comes back, he's all happy, and he found 4 of the rings of, like, the 50 that they need. And so the 4 was enough to start the battle. The squirrel actually did some cool things and, like, blew out the security system before he got back. So he timed it just as when he got back, the security system went down. All the Green Lantern Corps comes out, but they're all normal people. You know, only 4 of them actually have powers to their rings. Anyways,
they didn't give one to Kilowog?
No, didn't give
Kilowog's
one to Kilowog.
Like the best one.
I know. So they're fighting. Also, another thing I expected is that people are going to die. For some reason, I expect in Green Lantern someone's going to die. Like, oh, it's a thing they do. So, you know, a couple people die, as expected. There was an ad for Supergirl, apparently, that's coming out on CBS on Monday. It threw me off because I wasn't ready for that. But apparently, there's a Supergirl show coming out on CBS on Monday. Or whatever day compared. Let me give the actual date since we don't know when this is going to air. Premieres Monday, October 26th at 8:30/7:30 Central.
This probably won't be up.
Probably not. So anyways, there's a blonde chick who apparently is a Green Lantern that everyone likes. Because she like somehow has to go with the main team even though she has no ring. Tim, stop it.
I put my head down.
Yeah.
I politely put my head down.
So anyways, one of the really cool things is that they go, the 4 that do have the ring, they go find the rest of the rings. And the rest of the rings have been either drained or they've been smashed. Like, they're done. So whoever didn't get a ring, they're done. So the smart Green Lantern alien was like, oh, I have a way of fixing this. And so they try to fix it. Anyways, they come back with all the rings. Someone dies. We expected that. They come back with all the rings, but Kilowog apparently is the only one that has a special new item that's no longer a ring. It's this kind of wand thing orb, and that is now his new power ring. So that was pretty interesting. And then they get out, some of their allies come, all the different colors of the rainbow are out there because every ring is a different color, and they were all trapped together. And then they go off to say, we should probably figure out how we're going to advance in this major war. How are we going to do this? Well, how should we do this? Oh, let's go figure out where the world Green Lantern is, who's apparently getting beat down and dying. The end. But we all expected that, didn't we?
All right.
Wow. All right. So you recommend this series just jumping in, or?
I don't recommend it because it's too predictable. To me, it's predictable.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. But it was, so it's not garbage. But
it's not garbage. It was predictable. Yeah, yeah. It's not
I don't garbage. Read Green Lantern. It's something that I want to get into. My question is saying, like, you're saying, like, there was only 4 power rings, so the rest of them are normal. There's a lot of different races in Green Lantern. That's one thing I do know about it, something that I like about it.
Yeah.
Now, out of all these races, there's none of them have an advantage or, like, super strength just by being that race. Or...
I mean, definitely Kilowog seemed to have ultimately had strength, like, no matter what, regardless of the ring or not. I mean, the only advantage the squirrel had is that it was small, so it could run around and do stuff, and it still had its intelligence. So, because it was able to, you know, set up a time bomb. Yes, there are a lot of different races, but none of them seem to have a major advantage except for Kilowog.
Kilowog's like the one of the greatest Green Lanterns, period.
Mm-hmm. So. That's what I've heard.
All right. I have Batman, issue number 45. I've been waiting for this issue for a while now because 44, it kind of felt like an annual. It didn't really deliver on the story what I thought was going to happen. And I can't really say that this one does either, but it's still a good issue. It's still a very solid issue. Picks back up. Gordon's in this small box. He's about to get incinerated, pretty much. And he doesn't have the skills or the wits of Bruce Wayne as Batman. So he has the Batarang gun, which isn't performing right under these temperatures. So he's like, you know what? I have to try. I have to go above and beyond and actually become Batman. Because like he said in the last issue, I think it was the last one, he says like the one thing is Batman's not going to come save me. I'm Batman now. So he goes above and beyond. He hits the switch. Doesn't get incinerated. Not like any of us thought he was going to get incinerated. Fights his way out. Now, this one really cool part that I like, the super heavy, the Batman mech suit actually has this partner mode, almost, so to speak. And it takes very basic commands. And this puts Gordon back in his element, being a cop, having a partner, having somebody to cover him. And he kind of finally starts to feel like he's getting the reins of being Batman. Starting to feel like it's coming full circle and that, hey, maybe I can do this job. Maybe I am the guy for this job. Now, right around the time that happens, he meets up with the Powers Corporation, which if you're a Batman fan, you probably know of the Powers Corporation. You know of them from Batman Beyond. So I'm not going to elaborate on that right there, but you can kind of see why they might not agree with him being Batman. They say, you know what, this bought a lot of press, this bought, you know, a lot of negative attention, and you're not Batman. People can put a face to the suit now. People know that this is a government-mandated thing. You can't just go in guns blazing and killing everybody, you know? So, we'd like you to step down. Now, Jim Gordon's starting to feel like he's actually becoming the Batman and feeling like he's on the trail of Mr. Bloom, feeling like he can bring this criminal down by himself. It's something he's rather reluctant to do. So he starts thinking about, you know, how am I going to do this? You know, how can I fight this? Like, how can I actually stay Batman? And all the meantime, they kind of give you a shout to like, hey, go read We Are Robin. So you kind of fully get this story. And we get to the ceremony where, actually, I don't want to skip over the Bruce Wayne stuff. So Bruce Wayne's, he's at the home for the children, and this is after the events of the Joker, and he has all this wreckage. Just like, I don't know what we can do with this, and the kids are scared that the Joker, you know, that this is part of their everyday life, but this is part of them. These events are part of who they are now. So he kind of takes the stuff that the Joker has and he repurposes it, turns it into a gem, which I just thought was kind of weird because it would be slightly traumatic to see, like, the Joker card is still there. It's like a constant reminder of our family. You lost a lot. That was the one thing I just thought was a little bit weird. But then we get to this gala, this event where Jim Gordon's supposed to step down as Batman. And that's where you get the first appearance of Mr. Bloom in the issue. It's right towards the end. I really like this Mr. Bloom character. Mm-hmm. I really want them to elaborate on this. It seems like this super heavy arc is coming to an end. And I felt like this was a really good way to get people to read more of this arc, because I know a lot of people aren't happy with it. A lot of people aren't happy with Jim Gordon being Batman. This is actually what pulled me into this new 52 Batman, and I started reading backwards. I think it's really good, and I hope Mr. Bloom's here to stay. I really think issue number 46 is going to come full circle. I think that's the one I'm really waiting for. But I definitely think this is good. This is like definitely, I would say like an 8.5 if I have to put it on a rating scale.
Nice.
So you think issue 46 is going to be your, it's either going to be good or be bad based on that one?
I think I'm on the series for the long run now. Like, I'm going to read it no matter what. It's one of my favorites. I know Capullo, he's actually going to stop doing the art pretty soon. He's going to take a break from Batman.
He's so good.
I know, and that's the one thing is just that, like, this book is so consistently well drawn, and from the ink to the actual art, like, it's just everything about this looks good. Like, this kind of reminds me of Black Science in the way that the colors are just like always on point, and it always, like, it's a very big thing to me, because like, if I can see the colors I feel a little bit more immersed. If it's what I think they should be.
Some love for the colors.
Some love for the colors. It. Yeah. Well played. There it is. Colors, it's definitely a very important job because I think, you know, colors affect your mood. And even if you take it to something like, you know, out of comic books, you take it to Breaking Bad, where there was definitely a color theory going on there. This book is one of the things. I'm not a DC fan, really, so that's one of the reasons I wasn't reading this new 52 run, but I'll go as far as to say this is probably my favorite comic book out right now. Definitely top three.
Nice.
Very good.
All right, I got two more. I'll go pretty quick. First one, Agents of Atlas, number one. It is freaking phenomenal.
This is so good.
This is so good. So basically, this is another one of the Secret Wars world.
I'm just confused. It's Marvel.
I know. Let's not get excited. Actually, I picked it up because I didn't think it was Marvel. I thought, oh, this is a really cool, I don't know what this is, but it seems really like a really cool cover. And so the idea is that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is under the director of Baron Zemo. So Baron Zemo is the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. And in this particular world, all they do is build weapons for the other worlds. Right? And so everyone's kind of a slave or whatever, and S.H.I.E.L.D.'s supposed to, like, just keep things in order and make sure no one gets too beat down, but that's as far as their power goes. And so there's another team called Agents of Atlas, which actually goes and, like, saves people and says, you know, stop living in these conditions, let's get you out of here. And it's there, the Agents of Atlas is, like, what you would hope Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would, like, always be, even in the regular universe. They're just a really tight team that gets things done in a very strategic way. They get things done, they have superpower people that work with them as well, and they're hard asses. At the end of the day, they're hard asses. At the end of the book, the guy says, like, he basically tells the bad guy, look, we're going to do what we want to do. You're not going to tell Doom what we're doing, and you will stay out of our way and don't piss us off. And that's how it ends. And so, like, this team has it together. And so, team is, I don't know, Gorilla Man is one person. Their leader is Johnny Wu. And I don't know who's Johnny Wu in the regular universe. I don't know who Johnny Wu is. At first, I thought it was Amadeus Cho, but, you know. I don't want to be racist. And so, this is a really fun... And they have Namora, not Namorita, but the female version of Namor.
His cousin, right?
Yeah. Not Namorita, though. It's like I don't know who it is.
It's just a female Secret female, Wars exactly. version of Namor.
Okay, that could be what it is. They also have Marvel Boy, which is like a guy who has psychic powers. And then they have someone named Venus, who I really feel like she's very goddess-like, and she has crazy powers, but she kind of reminds me of Siren from Banshee, Siren from X-Factor, but I don't know if that's her or not. It's just a redhead character, and she entrances people. And so anyways, check this book out. It's a great kind of like spy book, sorta, but really it's like what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. should be. Is maybe what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. might be gearing up to be in the TV shows and such. It's just really good. It has Coulson ends up joining Agents of Atlas as well, which is pretty cool. So just really cool, intricate stuff. One thing I really liked that I thought was cool, Gorilla Man. You don't know who he is, really, but you do find out that if you kill Gorilla Man, you become the next Gorilla Man. So, like, it's a curse, basically.
Okay.
So anyone who's ever killed a Gorilla Man turns into a Gorilla Man. So someone does kill Gorilla Man in this book, and you'll have to read it to find out who it is.
Interesting.
So, wait, this is a Secret Wars
book. Secret right? Wars book.
And it's a new number one.
And it's a new, just-started number
October.
One.
October.
That's what I thought, too, afterwards. I was like, oh, it's number one. It obviously can't be anything to do with Marvel or Secret Wars, because how is that possible in October for there to be a number one? Anyways, great book. I would say pick it up. Last one, Wolf from Image. Number four, apparently. This is a really good book, too. I was really impressed by Wolf.
I heard it was really good.
It's really good. The basic premise is that there are vampires, and there's a guy trying to kill the vampires, and this guy apparently is immortal. He can't be killed, period. And so he's trying to go through and kill all the different vampires. And, you know, it's funny. The one vampire that you first meet that he tries to kill, apparently just killed some transsexual person a long time ago. And this guy's really upset about it, but you don't know why he's so upset about it. So I don't know if maybe they used to be in love, and I don't know the story behind that. Anyways, the idea is that he's trying to redeem himself and kill these vampires. He meets this new girl, and this new girl and him both can see things that no one else can see, right? So they can see demons and vampires and other things. And so you're learning that he basically has a sidekick now. But what you don't know is that they're going to go meet her dad in the desert somewhere. And stuff goes down. She turns into this, like, weird, not a werewolf, but basically a werewolf, but monster-ish kind of thing. And she gets pissed off and basically is like, I'm going to burn this whole world down, including you, Wolf. And the basic premise is basically you have this unkillable guy. He is trying to kill off these vampires. But the dialogue is so good, like, it's just really deep, and it's worth picking up. I don't even know if I'm not doing it justice. There's no way I'm doing this book justice, because I just jumped into it not knowing much about it. But the guy's name is Wolf, and the dialogue between him and the other characters are really good, so.
Nice.
Check it out. See what you feel about it. It's an Image book. I've never heard of it before, so I was excited.
Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere, and then a lot of people have been raving about it.
Yeah.
So I think the first trade will come out soon if you can't hunt down the issues.
Nice.
No pun intended, wolves.
All right.
You want to do your quick little shout-out on what you wanted to talk about?
I just want to give a shout-out. It's kind of in the same realm. It's not a comic book, but if you're listening to this podcast, you might be a fan of anime, manga, so on and so forth. There's one manga, anime that I really want to shout out. It started as a manga. It's called One Punch Man. It's currently got 3 episodes out. And this is, I don't want to have in the same mini-show with me saying, oh, this is my favorite. But this is my favorite anime of 2015 so far. The action sequences, the comedy of this show is phenomenal. The premise is this guy, when he was younger, you know, he looked up upon stars. It's like, I want to be a superhero that can defeat anything with one punch. So one fateful day, he sees this crab man. He's tormenting this kid with a very large chin. This is like very large chin. It's a very prominent thing in the episode. So after that, he starts training. He starts doing a very basic regimen, but he sticks to it. And from training so hard, it gets, like, harder and harder and harder. And all of his hair falls out. The only thing he ever does is train and fights villains. He kills everything in one punch. But it's really funny because the more he goes into it, the more that he's One Punch Man, he actually becomes bored with it because there's no challenge for him. There's nothing for him to do. There's nothing that he can't do that he wants to do. So it becomes kind of mundane, but he can't stop being One Punch Man because the world needs a hero. The world needs the superhero. So he kind of doesn't take any of these villains serious. So there's these, you know, giant monsters like, I'm going to destroy this, I'm going to destroy that. And he's just like, look, can we really get this fight over with? There's a sale at Best Buy I really got to get to right now. And he just punches them, and the violence, the action sequences, everything about this show is incredible. I definitely recommend it. Check it out.
Nice. Definitely looking forward to a future anime segment.
Yeah,
that'll be fun.
It'll be in the works. Yeah.
Yeah, we're working on a bunch of different segments, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned.